Hey, what's up, guys? This is another episode of Blaze Talks podcast. Thanks for the support and everything. Today, this is another special episode, the interview series. And today, we have a special guest. He's the CEO of Discovery Nomads. He's a bike guy, a travel consultant, and he also works out. Welcome, bro, to the podcast.
Shukran, Blaze.
So, Twambie, we'll start with Discovery Nomads. First, we'll start with your name, then how people can find you, maybe online and stuff like that.
People call me JJ. That's what I famously
go with.
On IG, I'm at ZeroPalm.
ZeroPalm.
ZeroPalm. ZeroPalm. Basically
so what's Discovery Nomads?
Discovery Nomads was born out of, let's say, the idea that we want to make travel
cheaper.
Exactly, because coming into the scene, I've been in the hospitality industry for a while, so coming into the scene, it was a bit crazy, the prices. Someone has to save up, let's say, a whole year for them to go on holiday. So we're trying to cut down on that.
So like you're traveling on a budget, but traveling
exactly on a budget
instead. So when did Discovery Nomads start? Like, how did it start? Because on this interview series, we've been having talks on hobbies that guys can take up and how they can monetize them.
All right.
So how did the idea of Discovery Nomads come?
I used to work in the hotel industry for like 7 years, and I got tired in 2019.
Just before the pandemic.
So that whole year, between 2019 and 2020, November, I was just at home. So Discovery was opened in November
2020.
Yeah, so this, we can say this is our second year.
Oh, this is your second year.
Fully operational, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So business post-pandemic has been good. How has it gone?
Yeah, it's actually been okay. During the lockdown period, we did a bit of events.
Events.
Pack and chill. You pay for 500 bob, bring your own drink, because people are not traveling outside. So
also, like, around in Nairobi.
Exactly. It was in Tigoni. It was in Tigoni. We did 3 events. They were themed events. We hope to go back to that. But when it opened up, we did Nyeganyege.
Nyeganyege last year.
In September, August, September. We took a group of around 80 people.
To Uganda.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
There's a friend of mine called Victor. He had also gone. Kinawango. They had a lot of fun.
Trip.
Yeah.
This is the people had a misconception about the trip. Our people okay.
Joaquin and Victor, they were sleeping in tents.
In the tents.
Yeah, we also saw like there was VIP tents, and then kuna shower, toilets and other stuff.
Because for us, as I said earlier, we want to get cheaper.
Cheaper.
Exactly, but at the same time, something that's comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So for instance, our guys were sleeping in hotels that have swimming pools, and they were getting breakfast. And for the 4 days, they were paying 3,000?
That's very cheap.
Very fair because
most people I know, they spend more than that.
They were paying around 30,000. So we were what we're trying to do is make it accessible
to everybody.
Travel shouldn't be expensive. It should be accessible to everyone.
Any recent locations that you are planning to like go to and all that stuff?
We have the April period. That Easter weekend, from Friday to Tuesday to Monday. So we have a Diani trip. At the moment, we have 10 slots.
Oh, 10 slots.
10 slots. We had 14 so far, we've gone. So we have 10 slots. And it's an all-inclusive package.
Kuna those terms in you guys use, there is all-inclusives, person sharing, so what's the difference between?
I can break it down. For instance, we're charging 22,000 as it's per person.
Per person.
Whether you're a couple, so you'll If you're a couple,
you paid for two people.
Actually, if you're a couple, you're paying 40K.
Uh-huh. Or there's like a discount.
Yeah, if you're alone, you pay 22,000.
Uh-huh.
Let me explain that a bit. Uh-huh. When hotels say per person sharing,
uh-huh.
and then you find that the rate for per person sharing is lower
uh-huh.
than when you're occupying the room uh-huh. alone, uh-huh. it's because when you're alone,
uh-huh.
the amenities you get to use are uh-huh. different than... When, let's say, for instance, you're paying your, let's say, your madam,
uh-huh.
you're paying 15,000,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
say 30,000 a night, right? Yeah. And if I'm coming alone, I'm uh-huh. going to pay around 26,000.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the hotels are trying to maximize on profit
uh-huh.
on the two packs than on the one pack. So
oh,
let's
yeah.
say they're trying to encourage guys
to travel exactly. for two
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're also like a biker guy. There's this book I was reading by Richard Cooper. Someone
mm-hmm.
he was saying like one of the things that make men more attractive is biking. Having
yeah.
a bike and all that stuff. So when did you start out with biking? Because the biking scene is relatively new in Kenya.
I started riding 7 years ago.
Oh, so you've been around in
the scene for a while.
Uh-huh.
I'll say every man should at some point in their life ride a
uh-huh.
motorcycle
uh-huh.
or something fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, something fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It gets to give you that
adrenaline
rush,
yeah.
exactly, because we are men and we have a lot
going on in life.
Yeah, so it's like an escape for me.
Uh-huh.
The 7 years I've had its lows and downs.
Uh-huh.
I've had pretty nasty falls, but
oh.
mm-hmm. Along the way you get to learn that you have to have patience
for the
teachers uh-huh. exactly. And then biking is also like therapy to
mm-hmm.
me. Yeah. There's a pretty famous say that says that goes, you'll never find a motorcycle
mm-hmm.
parked in front of a therapist office
because
we're talking our helmets.
Yeah.
You know, it's
really
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not saying that people shouldn't see therapists, but it helps reduce that
stress,
exactly.
that the tension and
exactly.
all that.
Yeah.
So, what do you ride currently?
Currently,
yeah.
I ride a Yamaha
uh-huh.
MT-07. It's
uh-huh.
a 700cc,
uh-huh.
2017.
Uh-huh.
Top speed is 240.
Mm-hmm.
Guys always love asking that.
Mm-hmm.
I also ride a Suzuki,
mm-hmm.
250cc.
250cc.
Just a road
yeah.
bike and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what would you advise maybe a person wants to like start biking? Let's start with maybe the type of bike that they should... They
okay.
haven't ridden any.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For beginner bikes, I
mm-hmm.
will always suggest to go with the lower CC.
Mm-hmm.
You can start from a 250cc
mm-hmm.
because our roads are not that favorable.
Oh, for bikers.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So there's bumps, there's
mm-hmm.
potholes, there's
yeah, the cars,
drivers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So you start low and
mm-hmm.
then you go up slowly. I started with that 223cc
uh-huh.
as a Demar.
Uh-huh.
Got it for around 180,000.
Uh-huh.
It was second hand.
Uh-huh.
It teaches you, you know, to handle a bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's like making love. You have to make love to that
to
bike.
To that bike.
Brakes, clutches.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty interesting thing. And then
mm-hmm.
I upgraded
mm-hmm.
after 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now I did a blend and I bought a 756. You see,
oh, instead of like
exactly,
from
223, maybe
yeah,
to 400,
400
or 600,
yeah.
I jumped to 750cc,
yeah,
a
uh-huh.
Suzuki.
Uh-huh.
I had a pretty bad fall
uh-huh.
along Gigiri,
uh-huh.
Going to Ruaka.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of dropped that the bigger bikes thing and
mm-hmm. oh,
went
for a while,
lower
yeah.
bit here
yeah.
for a while. But since then,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the time you get to learn
to
and
learn.
Stuff and what I'll tell people if they want to join
mm-hmm.
their schools, their riding schools out here.
Oh, they are riding
schools. Yeah, you send to a board and tell them, hey, teach me. Their riding schools, you go, they give you gear, helmet,
uh-huh.
They give you a bike.
Uh-huh.
All you need to do is just go just
and learn.
Just show up.
So, and for like, do you have like guys, do you guys have like groups, associations
have,
and all that stuff?
We have the umbrella body,
uh-huh.
which is, Motorcycle Kenya
uh-huh.
and Private Bike Association of Kenya
uh-huh.
and then now we have Nyumba Kumis. If you stay in
Kiambu
Nyumba Kumi,
uh-huh.
if you're in Thika, because
uh-huh.
those groups
uh-huh.
they help when there's an issue or a rescue. So bikers is like a brotherhood. Yeah, so if I post, I have an issue and I'm stranded on bike, someone around will help. Yeah, so it's all about connecting bikers who are far off.
So like for maybe guys who are new to the biking scene, so they should like definitely join the
those organizations. Yeah, it helps. It helps. Also finding good mechanics.
Oh, good mechanics.
Finding good gear. Because you have to.
Oh, in those groups.
Exactly. So in those groups, the people sell, and you can also get advice. So it's a pretty. Biking is not that big in Kenya at the moment.
Yeah, it's not really big.
But
yeah.
It's headed somewhere at least.
So what's the difference like 7 years ago and right now?
I'll say many people are coming into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's many people, many bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many cheap bikes out here now.
Yeah,
you can go buy a bike for 200,000 just ride along.
Mm-hmm.
And the motorist awareness
has gone up.
Exactly. Like, people nowadays are sensitized that, hey, bikers are brothers, their dads, their moms, sisters.
It's like a brother, like you should share
exactly,
the road.
Exactly, share the road, share the road, you know. Yeah, you can't see a biker coming, that's when you want to overlap.
Oh, nice. I've seen that recently, like even there are more chicks in the scene. Like, many chicks are riding bikes nowadays.
Very, and it's a beautiful scene
because
they're actually those I always say those people are so careful. Biker ladies are so careful because we've not had a fatality that
involved
exactly that serious. But for guys, you know, we have balls of steel.
You want to max out
exactly. So sometimes it befells us, so but it's life. What you always tell bikers is always wear the gear all the time. Yeah, they say dress for the slide. Dress for the slide. Exactly. You go wear shorts and a 1,000cc bike without a helmet and go out. It's a different power.
And even like when you were saying how you have to know how to handle your bike,
exactly,
kuna that issue of maybe you can't drink and ride.
Especially drinking. Alcohol and biking don't, you know, especially when you're riding. Even when races do happen, people are advised not to drink 2 days to the race, you know, so that you're sober and clear-headed and stuff. So you can't drink and get on the bike.
It's
going to be a disaster.
For bikes, like... we had asked earlier that question, like how do chicks respond to biking, to bikers and biking and all that stuff?
At first when I joined, it was all about the chicks. I joined biking because, you know, I was like, damn, I need to score some chicks. You know, when I'm riding, I just park my bike and I just love the bikers look.
Yeah, it's a very nice.
There's that, but also now, that's when self-control comes in because you find chicks who are saying, hey, can I get a ride? I mean, be over madam. I saw you. There's this famous clip that goes around where a chick and the guy, when the pillion, who is the madam, when she alights, she opens the pillion seat. She goes with it so that no one else sits on the bike. It's crazy because, and let's say maybe you have a fast bike or a bike that, you know, it's not that common, and let's say you're carrying a lady, your madam is gonna be told, hey, so you're gay carrying someone. So it's nice, it turns the heads, you know.
But that's what, like, we had done an episode where we were talking about if you can command attention, your life with the ladies will be a bit easier.
You know, they say behind the helmet, all bikers look all handsome and stuff until they get off the helmet. So it gives you that step in.
Oh, you have one step in.
You have one step in that someone, you know, doesn't bike.
That's what my pal was saying as well. So we had interviewed him a week ago.
Okay.
I was about, because of photography, you get access to chicks too. So what you are saying is just about self-control. Like, you know, this is a craft.
True.
And this is, you like, maybe you may get excited for the first few weeks.
True,
Then you decide, no, this is not the it's not the thing for me.
True.
Yeah.
Sure.
So how long have you been working out?
6-7 months. Uh-huh. Not long, but it's been the best months.
Uh-huh.
At first, when I was starting out, I was skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, it's been amazing. I've made a lot of friends, lots of connections, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that...
Exactly, networking.
You get networking.
Yeah, bro. Like today, we've worked out. So
with those dudes.
Good.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a someone who had asked, like, what do you feel changes when you start working out? Like, in terms of your confidence,
or
your mental health,
or
your outlook in life, and how you view yourself. What changes did you get?
The biggest change for me is that I got to be confident in my body, right? And even my walking posture changed. walking all tall and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And also you get to sleep well, actually.
Yeah, basically.
People never say that enough. Yeah. And I never used to drink water kitambo. Since I joined the gym, 3 liters, four down.
Per day. Exactly. Yeah, that's amazing.
Exactly.
That's amazing,
so,
yeah.
It also, shows you that how important health is.
Yeah, personally, for yourself.
Exactly.
Even.
Because I see guys who are in their 70s and they're working out.
Yeah.
They say they've never gone to the hospital because medication can be
expensive. It's very expensive nowadays, man. Yeah.
So if you can, avoid.
You can avoid the conditions
exactly,
before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, at the gym is where, your music and just the weights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. So for the gyms, we had talked with Nick, he was saying like it has also assisted him with his organization skills where he can slot some time of his day to go and work out. Like so his day has some structure in it.
That's good.
Yeah. So yesterday I saw it was today morning.
Mm.
It was a tweet. Some madam was complaining that her dude was crying kwa living room and all that stuff. So I was asking, what's your take on dudes opening up? Or because on social media, it's okay for men to cry.
Yeah,
it's okay for men to talk and all that. With these recent issues, what's your principle when it comes to opening up to, let's say, your mama or something like this, or chicks generally?
That's tricks, but my pops always tells me. My pops is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning 73 this year.
Mm-hmm.
He always tells me, as a man, sometimes you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Women are people, bro, who are gonna come to your life, and at some point they leave.
They leave.
They leave at some point.
Uh-huh.
And with the current dating scene, it's a bit tricky. Everyone
wants
to live on their own. No one wants the marriage institution and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So about the guy, maybe the guy is vulnerable
to the
lady.
Mama.
The lady went all telling people at 3 a.m. I think that men should find other channels
too.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's why I ride a bike, bro.
Yeah.
I speak in my helmet. Uh-huh. My helmet has a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I shout in there.
Yeah.
I do stuff.
Uh-huh.
Go to the gym.
Yeah, go to the gym.
Lift weights.
Yeah.
Go home. Smile at your mama. Because we're supposed to be the leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're supposed to be the leaders, not looking up to our women hey, now what are we gonna do? No. I say there are other channels
if worse gets to worse,
go talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
Because I also have this thing that sometimes you shouldn't burden people
with your things.
Thank you.
For free.
Exactly. People are going through their own stuff, bro. So you don't need to also burden someone with their stuff. So if you can find a therapist, good for you. If you have a guy, go talk to a guy, a guy can't shame you because they know what you're going through,
because maybe probably they've gone through the
Thank
same
you,
so there's this like I think like it's human nature, like maybe to weaponize people's weaknesses most of the time.
You tell someone something and then they use it against you.
I am the time, like,
hey, that's crappy, man. But I'll also tell guys,
mm-hmm.
if you're going into something,
mm-hmm.
you know, try and
mm-hmm.
don't carry baggage.
Uh-huh.
Don't get baggage from you know, from like someone, hey, this madam came with baggage, and no, you know they're brought to carry one's baggage. Uh-huh. No, it's
you're not like obligated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're done with your past. You're done with your excess. Now let's do this. If we do this, yeah.
Oh, that's whatever. So, but like these dudes need to like know the type of woman you are with.
But also, it comes with, you know, it comes with years, bro, with experience. Also,
with experience.
You gotta get hurt.
Maybe that dude was probably maybe a younger dude or something.
Exactly,
like that,
bro.
Yeah.
So, because I don't see why my woman should go telling
niggas how you are crying and all that shit.
Exactly. So,
because I think for me, like personally, I think the society is lying to these dudes, telling them that it's okay to cry, but it's not equipping them with the necessary skills to handle that. Like, you can't, like, go crying to your mama.
True.
Or you can't go crying in public.
Crying is not a weakness.
It's not a weakness, but
weakness.
Yeah.
Me, when I'm watching a movie and it's
overwhelming.
I cried at the almost from last week. There's no one who's going to be there because there's nothing as equality when it comes to, we can say that it's on paper.
It's on paper and everything.
No, exactly. Deep down, we know that
it's maybe
that's some BS.
Yeah.
Because
I was thinking that the tier currency, dudes, you know that their tears mean nothing in the streets.
Yeah, bro.
Anywhere,
exactly.
Even in court, your tears mean nothing. But when you compare to like maybe chicks, the tears carry some weight. People have died because of bashi. People have gone to jail.
Exactly. So automatically, the moment you're born as a guy, you're disadvantaged from the one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you have to work your way through and kind of be tough. Uh-huh. Not that by being tough that
you are abrasive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You can be tough, but at the same time, get someone you can talk to. Get your boys. Go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't. I don't think, man. Me always tell my boys, don't talk to your woman.
With time, these mamas will leave.
Bro, they leave.
Yeah.
They do leave. Even kids do leave.
Yeah, even kids leave.
Yeah, when they get-